Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in God's word. And all I can say is it is a great word. It's one of those words where it's a scripture that we've all spoken and y'all know and y'all like to say. But we need to get the background from it and why God spoke it and why God is asking us to do the same, to pray. And the word that God gave me this morning was, it's time to humbly pray. It's time to humbly pray. Every day it seems like we are turning on the television to slaughter. Someone decides to buy a gun and to kill someone with it. And they don't care if it's a child or a senior citizen. Unfortunately, you can't even celebrate the 4th of July without someone thinking it's time to kill someone. And it's not time to kill. We have learned to love each other. But when you are a nation born on sin and blood and the things that are not of God, comes a reckoning. It becomes a reckoning. When we forget to worship God in spirit and truth, that becomes a reckoning. You cannot fake God's love. You cannot fake your faith. Do you love God? Do you pray? We have to pray. We as people of God have got to come together and pray for the healing of our land. For the healing of our land. America, we have become broken. And we have allowed ourselves to be broken by the spirit of Antichrist that has taken over. And we have got to pray it out. God has told us how to pray in our word today. He gave Solomon a blueprint that we can use too. What can we do is a question that Dr. Stanley asked us after we read the scripture this morning. What can I do to help change the spiritual and moral climate of my nation? And so it's not just my nation, which is America, but all the nations of those that listen in. We all have got to pray around this planet if we want to continue to breathe on it, air to be clean. I have noticed trees are dying all over. Even my own trees, I have some that have to be cut down because they are dead. Our trees keep our atmosphere clean. Seeing our trees dying, that's going to be a problem. All the fires that have decimated certain states and their trees. It's getting harder and harder to breathe. We need to pray. God is speaking all today. We've got to love each other first and foremost. Loving God and loving each other. It's what God has given us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, with our soul, with all our mind and strength, and that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. It's time to pray. It's time to love. It's time to change our wicked ways. And I say this in love. God is not black. God is not white. God has no color. And we need to get out of the business of racism and bigotry. God loves us all. Sunday morning should not be the most racist time in America or around the world. If your worship is on Saturday, anyone should be able to worship with you. It doesn't matter what they look like. Worship is worship. Loving God is loving God. Prayer is prayer. We all pray to the one God who created the heavens and the earth. And we should accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Why? Because he died for us in love. Father God in heaven, we are coming together this morning in love, lifting up the name of Jesus, asking you, Lord God, to heal our land, God. Take us from the dark place that we have become, the dark place of divisiveness, vision, this divisive spirit, Lord. We ask you to remove it from our nations, God. Help us to love each other, to love you more than anything, to worship you in spirit and truth, oh God, to lift our hands in praise as the Holy Spirit enters our bodies, our minds, and our spirits. Holy Spirit, take control this morning. Speak through me what the Father once spoken. Remove all flesh and fill me with your Holy Spirit, Father God. I humbly give you me, God, to use for your glory. Lord, I lift this word up today that it will touch someone's heart, someone's mind, someone's spirit, that they will say, what must I do to be saved? Father God, as we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as we lift up his name today, as we humbly pray today, I ask you, Lord God, please increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Father God, be acceptable in your holy sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. You are my Father, God, and I am your humble servant. I am open to receive, Lord God, your word. I bind all spirits of attack that would try to keep this word from going forth. I send it back to the pits of hell from whence it came. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. But I know my anointing comes from you, God. Ask you, Lord God, send your angels of protection to protect those that are yours. Bind us, oh God, in your loving wings. Lord God, put us all under your covering. But we are your children, and we are humbly praying to you, Lord God. Please heal our land. Heal our land, oh God. Heal the land, Israel, as you heal America. Heal the land in Ukraine, as you feel the hearts of the Russian people to ask themselves, why am I fighting my brothers and my sisters? because at one point they were one. Lord God, let not one man with Antichrist spirit create havoc in a planet and a world. But Lord, this is your world. This is your planet. You created it as you created us and breathed the breath of life in each of us. So Father God, I humbly to you, asking you to guide us in it and give us clarity and understanding that we will walk in righteousness and walk in love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Peace giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. I ask him to increase as I decrease, but we are God's children, and he loves us. Let's love each other. But understand, he is a disciplinarian, and will. Whew. God will tell you, if you do this, this is a consequence. So let's read our word today. Please join me this morning in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7 through chapter 8, verse 18. Psalm chapter 80, verses 1 through 6. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 15. And Acts chapter 13, verses 26 through 52. And all have a word for us today. And the word of 2 Chronicles starts in chapter 7 with, when Solomon had finished what? Praying. Fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 bulls and 125 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God, and the priests attended to their services. The Levites also, with instruments of the music of the Lord, which King David had made to praise the Lord, saying, for his mercy endures forever. Whenever David offered praise by their ministry, the priests sounded trumpets opposite them while all Israel. When you go to church sometimes, you got folks that look at you crazy when you stand up for prayer. We need to start going back to the old ways and standing up for prayer and standing up for the reading of God's word. What did it say? While all Israel stood. They stood for worship. They stood for prayer. They stood for the reading of the word of God. And we need to start standing again for God's word in his chapel, in his synagogue. We've got to get back to being humble before the Lord. It says, furthermore, Solomon consecrated the middle of the court that was in front of the house of the Lord, but there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offering, because the bronze altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, and the fat. At that time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, consecration, and all Israel with him, a very great assembly from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt. And on the eighth day, they held a sacred assembly, where they observe the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. On the 23rd day of the seventh month, he sent the people away to their tents, joyful and glad of heart for the good that the Lord had done for David, for Solomon, for his people Israel. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and Solomon successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer, David. Oh, prayer. Pray, pray, and pray some more. I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. We are seeing it every day. It's starting to happen. Read it. Study it. Meditate on this word, because we're seeing it come to fruition. But God has given us an out. He has helped us. He said, if my people, not just anybody, but if my people, if you are saved, if you are sanctified, if you are a child of God, if you love the Lord with all your heart, my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. We know the sins of our nation. We know the awful things that have happened in our country. And we've got to heal the land. We got to repent. Horrible, evil things were done. And you said in the name of the Lord, but it was not. It was in the name of greed, as horrible, evil things are being done now in the name of God, but they're being done in greed. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. God is giving us an understanding. His people, we people of God, have got to pray. We've got to humble ourselves and pray and seek not the face of any man, but the face of God. We've got to get out of the crazy and get into what is in the Word of God. God's Word is true, and He is trying to help us. And He tells us in verse 15, now my eyes will be opened and my ears attentive to prayer made. And I know He was talking the temple of God. I know He was talking to Israel. But I know that this word is for us today. It is for us today as well, because He grafted us in. We are part of Israel. We are part of God's family. We have got to humble ourselves and pray. We've got to do it. We've got to turn from our wicked ways. For now, I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. And forgive me, because I am taking speech therapy, having some issues. But God knows my heart, and God will continue to heal everything. And it says, as for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, and do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as I covenanted with David, your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man as ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods, the little g's, and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land, which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified my name, for my name, I will cast out of my sight, and will make it a proverb and a byword among all people. And I'll put a pin there. And that is exactly what he did. That is exactly what he did. Because after Solomon, it's a mess. We cannot spoil our children and spare that rod, because you get some entitled, spoiled kids that eventually will be in charge of this world. Selfish and entitled. And that is what happened to Israel. Solomon's descendants, David's titled kings, and tore up some things. And as we read the Chronicles, you'll understand this word and what it meant. God gave him an opportunity. God has given us an opportunity to change our wicked ways. And he goes on to tell us, and ask, but this house, which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and this house? Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, he has brought all this calamity on them. God has given us blessings after blessings. We cannot not follow God. Father God, I ask you to guide us, to lead us, and show us the way to go, that we will follow after you and not other gods. It's a commandment. Thou shalt have no other God before me. But we have put political figures. We have put entertainers. We have put everything, even got a title, American Idol, you know, European Idol, this kind of idol. Come on, people. It's about what you're watching, what you're seeing, what you're reading, who you're following. Are you listening to God? Or are you just trying to say, ah, oh, whatever? You know, come on. There is a God. There is a Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And one day we will have to stand before them. One day we will have to all give an accounting of our awful actions, of the things we've done, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because God knows it all. Because then he's saying his word, I will never leave you, I forsake you, which means everything that you do, seeing it and watching, and right, is being written down in the book. So when you open your book, what is your book going to say? And as we come into chapter 8 of Second Chronicles, it says, and it came to pass at the end of 20 years when Solomon had built the house of the Lord and his own house, that this city with Hiram had given to Solomon. Solomon built them, and he settled the children of Israel there. And Solomon went to Hamath Zobah and seized it. He also built Tadmor and the wilderness and all the stored cities which he built in Hamath. He built Upper Bethoron and Lower Bethoron, fortified cities with walls, gates, and bars, also Baalath and all the stored cities that Solomon had, and all the Jewish cities, and the cities of the Calvary, and all that Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem, in Lebanon, and in all the land of his dominion. All the people who were left of the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, who were not of Israel, that is, the descendants who were left in the land after them, whom the children of Israel did not destroy, from being Solomon raised to forced labor, as it is to this day. But Solomon did not make the children of Israel servants, but his work. Some were men of war, captains of his officers, captains of his chariots and his cavalry, and others were chiefs of the officials of King Solomon, 250 who ruled over the people. Now Solomon brought the daughter of Pharaoh up from the city of David to the house he had built for her. For he said, my wife shall not dwell in the house of David, king of Israel, because the place to which the ark of God has come are holy. Now understand, Solomon knew that he was not supposed to be marrying the woman. God had given them an edict. God had given them a statute of who they should marry. But here we go. 1,000 wives, y'all. And messed up. Got messed up from the blow up because of these wives and their idolatrous nations that they came from. That he thought he had to please them instead of pleasing God. So let's see what happens here. He moved her because he knew it was holy and she was not worshiping our God. And says, then Solomon offered burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of the Lord which he had built before the vestibule according to the daily rate, according to the commandment of Moses. But the Sabbath, the new moon, and the three appointed yearly feasts, the feast of unleavened bread, the feast of weeks, and the feast of tabernacles. And according to the order of David, his father, he appointed the division of the priests for their service, the Levites for their duty, to praise and serve before the priests. As the duty of each day required, the gatekeepers by their divisions at each gate, for so David, the man of God, had commanded. They did not depart from the command of the king to the priests, the Levites, concerning any manner or concerning the treasuries. Now all the work of Solomon was well ordered from the day of the foundation of the house of the Lord until it was finished. So the house of the Lord was completed. Then Solomon went to Elzion, Geber, and in the land of Edom. And Hiram sent him ships by the hand of his servants and servants who knew the sea. They went with the servants of Solomon to Orpha and acquired 450 talents of gold from there and brought it to King Solomon. But let's go back over some life lessons and questions for this word this morning. And let's go back one more time to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. And for those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, it was daily Bible, biblical principles for each day of the year. And I tell you, this is a Bible we all should get for our biblical arsenal. It is a great Bible, a great study Bible. And I just say, shout out to Dr. Stanley. And I tell you all, if you have opportunity to buy this Bible, please get it. And again, I am not being paid by anybody to hawk a Bible or to say, you know, you need to buy this and, you know, I'll send you that. No, you need to just study the Word of God. And this is a great Bible to use. And I love the life questions and the life answers and the life lessons. It's like we are in Sunday school. And I love it. And so let's get back to our word. And it says this: what can I do to help change the spiritual and moral climate of my nation? Whatever your nation may be, wherever your nation may be. And I say bonjour to my friends, brothers, and sisters who listen in. Thank you, God, for all of you. And it says this because the problems we face in our country seem overwhelming, and getting a grip on them is a big challenge. One aspect of the nation's landscape in particular shows a steep decline after our government took a stand against the word of God under the guise of separation of church and state. We all know it. It all happened. You know, and I'm not saying that we need to mix it all up again, but I'm saying that we need to make sure that God is in everything we do. And I'm not talking false God. I'm talking the one God. And it says, this is what Dr. Stanley gives a little history lesson. First, 40 years ago, while Bible and prayer still had an important place in public school systems, teachers reported the following as the major school problem: talking in class, chewing gum, making noise, running in the halls, getting out of line, wearing inappropriate clothing, and missing the wastebasket. Can I say that again? 40 years ago, because I remember having a prayer in my school. I remember us being able to look at the Bible. And it says 40 years ago, while Bible and prayer still had an important place in the public school system, teachers reported the following as major school problems: one, talking in class, chewing gum, getting noise, running in the hallway, getting out of line, wearing inappropriate clothing, and missing the wastebasket. To go back to them days. Because today, they report a very different set of major problems: drug abuse, suicide, alcohol abuse, pregnancy, rape, murder, and assault. Talking in class, now we got drug abuse. Chewing gum, now we got skin noise, now we got alcohol abuse. Running in the hallway, now we got pregnancy. Getting out of line, now we got rape. Wearing inappropriate clothing, now we got murder. Missing the wastebasket, now we got assault. Sounds like the description of a penitentiary instead of a public school. And that's the truth. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry. But if that shoe is fitting, we got to wear it. Talking in class and drug abuse just don't compare with one another, do they? Chewing gum versus suicide screams to the world something went wrong. Indeed, it has. But God's word gives us reason for hope regarding both a nation and a culture in serious moral decline. According to 2 Chronicles 7:14, writing our nation, our national ship, begins with prayer. I say it again. Writing our national ship, and I'm saying national ship, meaning all of our nation, begins with prayer. God has placed the solution to our country's woes in the laps of those who acknowledge him. God's strategy for change goes something like the following. First, we must humble ourselves. We agree with God that we are not worthy to be fixed. Although America is the greatest nation on earth, and I'm sure many of you say your nations are the greatest nations on earth, we're not really that great, and neither are yours. We must take personal responsibility for the decline. Father, my country is in the shape it is in because I have not done my part to change it. Second, we must pray. We must plead for this land. We must pray for every Supreme Court justice by name. We must pray for our president, for those who counsel him, for the members of the Senate and the House. Get the names of the state and local authorities and pray specifically for them also. I pray for Tammy Duckworth. I pray for Senator, went blank here. Whew, I pray for the senators Senator Durbin. There we go. Hallelujah. And I pray for my current Congressman Rodney Davis, who will no longer be my congressman when the next Congress opens, because I got redistricted. He is no longer my congressman. And I pray for my governor, Governor Pritzker, that he would do what's right in the sight of God. And I pray for everyone in this world. I pray for all of our leaders all over this country, all over this world, because we need prayer. Prayer changes things. So get to know who your representative is. Get to know who your senators are. Get to know who the people that represent you are. Do they love God? Senators that I have. I am grateful that they stand up even when they're vilified in their own churches. Even if they're vilified by others, they still stand up for what is right. And so I thank God for that. And I know that Rodney Davis will no longer be in Congress because he was beat in the primary in his new district. But I still pray for him that he sees God's light and does what's right with the remainder of his term. And as we continue in this word, it says this. Third, we must seek his face. We must seek and desperately want what God wants. Lord, what can I do? Where do I fit in? Where can I have the most impact for righteousness? And when God gives us direction, we must follow through on what he is telling us. We must not be merely hearers of his word, but doers. Hallelujah. James 1:22. And as we go in 2 Chronicles 8:11, my wife shall not dwell in the house of David, king of Israel, because the places to which the ark of the Lord has come are holy. Solomon knew that he had married a woman who had no place in the worship of Israel and no connection to his nation's God. He knowingly sinned, but he did not know how his sin would ruin him. I'm going to read that again. Solomon knew that he had married a woman who had no place in the worship of Israel and no connection to his nation's God. He knowingly sinned, but he did not know how his sin would ruin him. Unequally yoked, totally unequally yoked, him and this woman. He knew he had done wrong, and he got out of his city of David. He got out of God's house and out of David's house because he knew she didn't belong there. Because he knew she had her own little Jesus she was praying to. Psalm 81:6. To the chief musician, said to the living, a testimony of Esau, a psalm. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Stir up your strength and come and save us, and we shall be saved. I got to read that again. Restore us, O God. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry against the prayer of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in great measure. You have made us a strife to our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. And a life lesson, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Psalm 80:3. It would be great if we all marched from spiritual childhood to spiritual maturity without a hitch. But the truth is, we all need to be restored from time to time. Prayer is a necessary step to restoration. If my people, God is speaking to us today to pray. Proverbs 20:15, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Acts chapter 13, starting at verse 26. men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. But those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers. God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." And that he raised him from the dead no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus, "I will give you the sure mercies of David." Therefore, also says in another psalm, "You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption." But David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that though this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. One more time. Therefore, let it be known to you, brother, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified with all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken comes upon you. Behold, you despise it, marvel and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, through one work to declare it to you. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together. Did y'all hear that? On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first." What did Jesus say? That he came for the Jews first. He came for them. He came to save God's people. And we got drafted in. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. But it says, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you rejected it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have sent you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth." Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. I believe. Do you believe? What Mary used to say, "I know God. You don't know. I know. I love God. You don't love God. What's wrong with you? We got to love the Lord our God with every part of our being, a heart, a soul, a mind, a strength. And we got to love each other. That's the word, to love your neighbor as yourself. We got to be believers. What, I think it's, what was his name? He died. But one of the bishops used to say, yes, I'm a believer. Yes, I'm a believer. And I say, yes, I'm a believer. I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm a believer. And the word says in verse 49, and the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised a persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And as we go back through this word for a couple of life lessons, and it says this, Acts 13 and 48, as many as have been appointed to eternal life believe. We will never understand how the sovereignty of God works with the free choice of man to bring people to Christ. But both truths are clearly taught in Scripture. God chooses, and so must we. Did y'all catch that? God chooses, and so must we. God has given us choice. God has given us a choice to be saved or a choice not to be. So who are we to tell people they have no choices? We got to stop being God. You cannot legislate choice to anybody because they're going to do what they want to do, care what you say. And they will stand before God, not you. You cannot stand before God for your children. You not cannot stand before God for your mother, your father, your sisters, or your brothers. You can only stand before God for yourself. How are you living? It's the question. Are you praying? Are you seeking his face? Are you humbling yourself before God? Acts 13 and 52, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit this morning. And I thank God. I thank God for this word today. God intends a life with his Spirit to be a life of joy. That doesn't mean that sorrow never intrudes on such a life, but that even in the midst of sorrow, the joy of the Spirit comes bubbling to the surface. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the glory, honor, and the praise. And as the psalmist says, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father God, for your word. Thank you, Father God, for your love. Thank you, Father God, for your grace. And before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And Sister Carolyn's word has not come. She has been on a plane trying to get here. But a word from yesterday is this. Worry is a conversation you have with yourself about things you cannot change. Ooh. But understand, prayer is a conversation you have with God about things he can change. God knew that this word for Sister Carolyn was for today. And I got to read it one more time. Worry is a conversation you have with yourself about things you cannot change. Prayer is a conversation you have with God about things he can change. Have a tell it to God. That Tuesday is what she said. But I have a prayer to God Wednesday. Have a worship God Wednesday. There we go. Have a worship God Wednesday, family. But understanding that prayer changes things. And what God has given me to add as far as prayer to that blog is the 365 days of prayer for life. And for this July 6th, it says a season. For everything, there is a season and a time for every manner under heaven, Ecclesiastes 3:1. NRS version. It says, Lord, overall, your timing is impeccable. Just when I think you have forgotten about a promise, you come through with your provision. The waiting times differ. Your faithfulness never diminishes. May I be in touch with the seasons of life. When I am in a barren winter season where I need to rest, I won't find the growth and lightness that spring brings. Keep my heart sensitive to you. So when the season doesn't match my hope, I see clearly from your perspective, knowing that time will come. Give me unwavering hope in your goodness to see you come through at every point in life. I'm trying not to lose confidence, Lord, but in some areas the waiting has been long and the projection looks weak. Give me strength to hold on to your great expectation. Even if mine dwindles a bit, I submit my heart to your timing, knowing you are trustworthy. Do you type of spiritual season you're in? Do you know what season you're in? Are you in your winter? Are you spring? Are you summer? Are you fall? What season are you in? Whatever season it is in you, God is telling us it's praying time. We, his children, need to pray. It's time to humbly pray. Keep lifting up the name of Jesus today. Keep lifting up the name of Jesus today. I missed prayer yesterday. I was just talking yesterday morning about corporate prayer, and I missed it, and I was a little upset about it. Even I miss corporate prayer. And God said, you pray. Pray. And I had to repent of myself because I fell asleep. But I know I needed the rest because I've been up and running all day. But it still bothered my spirit. But then God said that you pray all the time. And that we must humbly pray. And when we mess up, we got to get up and we got to clean up. You know, I got a lot of cleaning up to do. We all do. Because none of us are perfect. We all fall short. But when we come together in prayer, change the atmosphere. We who have issues with breathing and bronchitis and those that have asthma and other kind of COPD or whatever breathing issue you might have, it's time to pray for clean air. Whatever spiritual deficiency you may have, it's time to pray for God to relieve you of it. If you have an issue with procrastination, it's time to pray, Lord, help me not to procrastinate. Help me not to be late. Help me to be on time, because I don't want to be like the bride that don't have the oil and can't make it in. I want to have all my oil and my refill with me. We got to get in order. And the only way to get in order is to pray. It's time to humbly pray. And as we wrap it up, if there's anybody that has a word that God has given them this morning, now is the time to push the one on your device or to call 213-943-3597. If God has given you a word this morning. And if not, as we get ready to wrap it up, we pray. And we pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed day, family. But we do have a caller, Evangelist. Evangelist, your line is open.
God said we must hearken unto his voice while we can. But the day will come when you cannot call upon him. He said, hearken unto the voice of Pastor Bridget as she brings forth his word. For his word is true and faithful unto us in these times. Amen. Oh, Shana. Thank you, Lord.
Evangelist, as we have already prayed our prayer, will you pray us out this morning?
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father God, we come to you now, Father God, as humble as we are right now, Father God. Oh, God, I ask you to keep your hedge around us this day, God, from all harm and danger that may try to come upon us, Father God. Lead your servant, Pastor Bridget, God, as she travels to work and back today, Father God. Use her for your glory, God. We need your glory right now, God, your Shana glory. Oh, Father God, I pray for each and every person that's listening in today, Father God. Meet their every need, as you say, God. And then you'll give us our wants, God. Lord, we ask you, Father God, to bless those, God, who are listening, who are unsaved, Father God. Save them and set them free, Father God. We ask you right now, Lord God, to just listen to our humble cry, Father God. I thank you, Lord. May the words of your servant's mouth be humble in your sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Oh, amen. Yeah. Thank you so much, Evangelist. Thank you for your word that I know came from God. Thank you for your humble heart and your heart of prayer. We thank God for all of you that listen in. We ask you to come join us. Tell us, friends, about Bible study, because this is what we do. This is, I guess you could call it our daily Sunday school, where we are coming together to worship God, to get his word, and to humble ourselves. One more time, family. As God's word has told us that we must humble ourselves. We must seek his face. It is time to pray, family. It is time to pray. Can you say with me, Lord God, we seek you today. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Keep that word in your heart. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. God is God, loves us, and he just wants us to pray. So we humbly pray as we leave today, thanking God for his word and thanking God for Evangelist Teresa, who has come on and prayed with us and given a word of wisdom from the Lord. Thank you, and may God bless you all. Have a wonderful and blessed day. Have a worshiping God Wednesday, and believe that all things are possible. The healing of our land, the healing of our hearts, is possible with prayer. Have a blessed day, family. What if that event would say, I got to go to work. Love you all. Be blessed and have a great day in the Lord. It's a wrap.